ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the UI Breakfast Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Portman, and today our special guest is David Pastor, the founder of UX Studio and the author of Product Design. And we're going to talk about UX roadmaps today. This episode is brought to you by FreshBooks. The all-new FreshBooks makes ridiculously easy accounting software that's completely transformed how freelancers and small business owners deal with their day-to-day paperwork. The most important thing is that getting started on FreshBooks is extremely simple, even if you're not a numbers person. Actually, especially if you're not a numbers person. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to our listeners. To claim it, just go to freshbooks.com/UIbreakfast and enter UI Breakfast in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
Hi everyone, it's nice to be here with you.
We are thrilled to have you. So we're going to start with a short blitz questionnaire and then go back to the main topic. How does that sound?
Great.
Fantastic. And question number one is, what do you do for a living?
Okay, so I'm the CEO of a 24-person design team in Budapest, Europe. So that's what I do for a living. I try to manage and run a design team.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Any elaborations? What does your team do? What kind of services?
Okay. Yeah, so we are a digital product design team, which means that we design mobile and web applications for our clients. Our clients are usually companies who have their own development teams, their own marketing and sales teams, but they need help in design. So we are their design team, and we design products for them. Some companies we have already worked with are Wizz Air, HBO, LilyGo, if you know those. And we also work with many smaller startups. Our clients are based in San Francisco, London, Berlin, and here in Budapest. So that's what we do. And I also wrote a book, which I don't want to do again because it's pretty difficult and long task to do. And I also teach on our design course. We run a design course in every 6 months. So I also write some blog posts, as you already figured out.
Yes, definitely. The way I found you is actually through your amazing blog post about UX roadmaps, which I'm definitely going to link to in the show notes. So a little bit of your background story. How did you get there, this impressive client list and such success? Where do you start?
Okay, so originally I wanted to be a programmer because when in high school, there were no smartphones at all. And the web and websites were the cool things to do. So I started programming on my old Pentium machine in high school. And I thought that, okay, if I like to do websites, I have to be a programmer. So I went to university and I had a master's. I have a master's in computer science. But during the way, I realized that I don't really want to do code every day. I love coding, but I don't want to do it full time. And that was the time when I switched to design because I was really interested in the way people use these products. So I started reading some books on this topic. I read the book Web Design from Jacob Nielsen, and I learned the basics of usability. Then I had some, during university, I had some side gigs in different software companies where I was product manager or project manager, and somehow in those teams they always find me with the usability questions. So where to put this button, what to write on that button, and I always get those questions. So after a while I switched to UX design, and I had my first job as a UX designer. And when I finished university, it was time to do something for a living, and I started as a freelancer for the first time, and I got so many requests, so many jobs that I had to hire other guys, and we started growing. It was 4 years ago. We started growing, and now we are 24 people. So it goes well, I think.
Oh, wow, 24. That's a great number. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Awesome story. What does your typical day look like?
Okay. So nowadays, I have to attend a lot of meetings. So I'm on meetings usually. That's what I do. I give feedback to other designers. Unfortunately, I'm not really designing myself. I take part in many design projects, but I'm not really the guy who does the actual work anymore. I try to keep my company together. I have a lot of things to do as a CEO, talk with partners, talk with my team. I spend a lot of time with figuring out how to make sure that our team has a very high professional quality, and just to make sure that everyone in our team gets better and better in UX. So about education, I work a lot with educating other people. So yeah, basically that's what I do. It's very different. Like every week, every day is very different. So I don't really have a schedule, like things I do every day. It's always different, and I always do the thing we have to do to step forward as a company. For example, we just started a small product team recently, so we will also develop our own product ideas. Not just we won't just do design for others, but also develop our own ideas and own products. And in these days, I spend a lot of time with this product team.
Just a small side question: how do you go about development? Do you have developers in your team as well?
Yeah. Now we have two developers joined us. So yeah, we have developers. But the core design service that UX Studio does is not development. So we don't sell development. We just have the developers to develop our own products. And for our clients, we just sell our design service.
Yeah, that makes sense. What do you enjoy the most and the least about your work?
As a CEO, you have to make some tough decisions sometimes, and you have some hard discussions, and I don't like those. but on the other side, I really enjoy when I see that my team works hard and they achieve something, I'm very happy. And when I see that we can achieve certain milestones with the company, we can hire new people, we have good feedback from the clients. That's very good. Those are the things I really like.
So happy to see that you found yourself in managing other people. That's a rare thing, actually.
Yeah, you know, it's if you are a CEO, that's not a choice. You have to find the fun in those things. Yeah.
What is your next big thing?
Yeah. So our next big thing is to develop our own product, and it will be a designer portfolio platform. So that's very exciting. Unfortunately, I don't want to say more about that, but it will come out in a few months, and we are very excited to publish this thing. So we are working hard now on an MVP for this product, and we can't wait to launch it.
Wonderful. Is there any landing page or anything else where people can go right now?
Yeah, no.
Not yet.
Not yet, but as I said, it will come out in a few months. And yeah.
All right, now let's talk about UX road mapping. And one thing that struck me hard in your article is that you said there is not such a thing as a UX roadmap.
Yeah, there's no such a thing. Yes, that's true. We wrote this article because we saw that a lot of people are searching for UX roadmap in Google. And I was just wondering what a UX roadmap should be. And I made my research and I talked with a lot of guys, a lot of smarter guys. And it turned out there is no such thing as a UX roadmap. you can have a product roadmap where you map your future plans, but it's for the whole product team and it's not just for UX. Of course, it has a part about UX, but and you can plan your UX activities, but it always have to be synced to the whole product team's work and the whole product roadmap.
If someone is a standalone UX professional, for example, like myself, if I start to work with a client, whatever document I put together, I would love to call it a UX roadmap. Can we do so?
Yeah, you can, of course. you can call it whatever you want. I think naming is not really important here. What is important is to understand that your UX roadmap is connected to other activities like the developer's roadmap and the business roadmap. And you cannot just think about UX separately. It's integrated to the whole product team. And so when you put together your UX roadmap, you should consult with other parties and make decisions together.
All right. But what is roadmap? How would you define it?
Well, there must be a good definition on Wikipedia, but unfortunately, I don't know it. So a roadmap is basically a plan that you have for the future. So you do a roadmap when you are thinking about the future. And there are different schools about roadmapping. I think the new school of roadmapping or the new school of product management uses teams in the roadmaps, and we start to get rid of exact dates and functions and do it a bit differently.
So in a wrong way, you would say, you know, I will work for 5 days and achieve this specific outcome. In the perfect world, you would rather set themes and not try to avoid specific deadlines, right?
Yeah. So when you do a roadmap, a roadmap is not a sprint plan. It's not when you do roadmapping, it's not planning your next sprint. So if you say that in the next 5 days I will do this and that, that's not a roadmap. A roadmap is for a mid or long term goals. For the next week or next few weeks, you can have plan your sprints, and you have exact dates and exact deliveries, and you should have those. But that's planning your next sprint in Agile. Roadmaps are about mid or long term goals. So let's say, where do we want to go in the next 2 months? Where do we want to go in the next 6 months? So that's what you think about when you try to put together your roadmap. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that if you think about the next 6 months, you can be sure that something will come up that you cannot predict. So that's why it doesn't make sense to have exact dates and and deliveries. Maybe deliveries, yes, but exact dates, not really. Because there will be something will come up that you cannot predict. So you really have to stay flexible, and the goal of this roadmapping is to map the strategy that you will follow. So what problems will you attack first, and what problems will you attack later? So in that sense, when we talk about road mapping, we don't talk about specific features like I want to put in that search function or something. We really like to think about themes, and a theme can be a business goal or even a problem, a user problem or a function set. But it's not really just specific functions, but bigger problems that you want to solve. For example, let's say your big goal for the next 2 months is to increase conversion rate. Then if you have this big goal, this is a theme. And inside that theme, you can find many different solutions. You can have many ideas to try out during the next 2 months to increase your conversion rate. So that's why we don't really have specific functions listed in a roadmap, just a theme. And those themes are like goals, bigger goals that you want to achieve. And when you decide about roadmaps, you basically prioritize those big goals, which goal you want to achieve first, and what are the goals that can wait and work on them later.
When you are putting one together, what are the perfect instruments for doing so? Is it just, you know, a list of structured bullet points with a few headlines? Or is it some kind of spreadsheet? Or is it a diagram? How do you prefer going around that?
Yeah, it depends on the team. In smaller teams, it's really just a few bullet points. And if your roadmap is just a few bullet points, but it's crystal clear for everyone in the team, then that's okay. Because the other goal of a roadmap is to have a strategy and have something that you can communicate to everyone in the team. So if you make it very detailed, and if you make it make it big and make it long, then no one will read it, no one will understand it. So it's very important to keep it simple. And this simplicity will help you to communicate that roadmap to everyone involved. And if they understand it really, then they can help you to achieve those goals. So that's very important to keep it simple. So you can use a diagram if that fits your project. You can use just a bullet point list. You can use a spreadsheet if you want. But I think those are just tools. The important thing is to define your themes. So define your big goals you want to achieve, to prioritize them and have them in order. So what will you work on first and what will you work on next? And basically that's it. You can do it in many software tools, but really the tools are not the main thing here.
Typical project management tools, like classic ones, Gantt charts and stuff like that, they're not suitable, right?
I wouldn't recommend using a Gantt chart. In certain situations, I can maybe it makes sense. So I wouldn't say that you should never use that, but I think if you want to put together a roadmap, the best thing to do is just to gather your team and sit down in front of a whiteboard and draw it on a whiteboard, and then later you can put it in a spreadsheet or in a bullet point list in an email or in a diagram. But first, just create the roadmap itself.
What are the typical mistakes that you see people making with their roadmaps?
Yeah, so the first thing is that they go into details about features, and they don't really plan with uncertainties. So there are always things that will happen that you cannot predict. So they forget it. They think that they can plan everything for the next 6 months, and that's impossible. No one can ever do it. Even the most brilliant, amazing product managers, they cannot do it. So don't expect it from your team. Let's have some plan and have a big picture of the things that you will do in the next 6 months, but don't go into details because it will, you know, if you have an exact plan, you can be sure that it will not happen. Something will change on the go, and that's okay. That's how life is. So that's the thing. So you should avoid specific features and use themes instead. I think you should also avoid using deadlines or too many deadlines. Maybe if you have some milestones, it's okay. But it will just cause you stress because the deadline will come and it will make everybody very stressed. So, yeah.
Let's imagine there is a project and you just started working on it. You did some initial research, and you're putting together a roadmap. But there's still plenty of research activities ahead. How do you go about planning these? Because the actual design scope is going to be predicted by these activities. You can't really just foretell it.
Yeah, that's true. So that's one thing. In bigger teams, they usually use dual track development, which means that you have a discovery team working on the research, and you have a delivery team working on the exact features. And in that sense, those teams are working simultaneously, and they are quite independent from each other. And the discovery team is just working on the research and finding out what to build. And they do experiments, they do some kind of validation for the future ideas they have. And after a while, when they feel that, okay, this certain feature is ready for detailed design and development, they just pass it over to the delivery team. Of course, in smaller teams, you cannot afford to have a separate discovery and delivery team. In that case, the most important thing, I think, is to communicate that there will be research results, and the research results will have a huge effect on our roadmap. So you can plan a roadmap, and you can put certain checkpoints in it. Like, let's say, okay, we will have a few weeks for research, we will have a month for research, and after the research, we will have a discussion, and we will think again about our roadmap, and just make sure that everyone understands, even business leaders understand, that the roadmap will change after the research.
Mm-hmm. Just a strategic question from your experience with so many products. If there is a special design, well, if there is no need to give, you know, constant load to the design team, is it better to do a bit of product design than let the product sit for a month, let's say, and then come back and do another bit of design, you know, providing breaks and just letting things sit down? Or is it better to continually evolve?
Continually evolve, like... design,
like,
is never...
keep working on stuff.
Yeah,
just keep working,
working
all
keep
the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, design is never finished. There is always something to improve. And, you know, it's better to break down your goals and tasks into smaller things and do those things. And I'm really a fan of lean UX and how it should be done. Like, you should always find the next challenge for yourself, and that's very important, because developers and product managers and business people has to get used to the speed you have, and that you always deliver things that will have to go into production development. So it's better if you find a velocity in which you can work together with your developer counterparts and sync your activities. And you design something, then they develop it. And while they develop it, you already start designing the next thing. So when they are ready, you can deliver the next tasks for them.
The natural question would be, as a result of such, you know, continuous development, would you not end up with a very bloated product with too many features? Or do you think it means just coming back and improving the existing ones?
Yeah. So in many cases, you don't build new features. You redesign old features. And one thing that is very important if you want to do continuous design is to have continuous research also. So your researchers, or if you do the research yourself, that's also an option. So from the research, from usability tests, from interviews or product discovery sessions, there will be always new things always will come up. So there will be features you will want to redesign. And also there will be new pain points, user pain points you will find. And you can think about new features or to attack those pain points and solve those pains. Sometimes we don't build a new feature, we build a new product instead, because we interview customers. Yeah, really, that happens. Like we interview customers, we discover new pain points they have connected to our original product, and we just think about it, and we figure out that okay, this thing is really not just a feature in our old product, but it can be a standalone product. And this new standalone product can mean a new revenue stream for the company. So that's also, in many cases, this happens, and that's also a good thing to do. So, yeah.
Do you have any criteria how to decide whether, it can be a new product or whether it should be attached to an existing product?
That's the million-dollar question, and it really depends on the industry, on your user base, on so many specific things that I don't really want to give you like some kind of rule of thumbs here, because it really depends on your context and your situation. So. Yeah, there are some situations when it makes sense to start building a new product, especially if you have an audience, a separate audience that can use that product and they don't need the rest of the features. So you can do that. And it's a struggle for big companies. For example, Facebook started to put every little product into separate mobile applications. Like there was an app for the basic Facebook app, Facebook site, and there was an app for Facebook groups, and now they merge it back together. They killed the Facebook groups app recently, and the mm-hmm. groups will be included into the Facebook the main Facebook app. But still, they will keep Facebook Messenger as a separate application. So as far as I see, even the big companies are always experimenting with this thing.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we talked about is that product roadmap is a very fluid thing. So once you put it together, do you just come back and revise it? And how often should you do that? And how do you reflect those changes?
So there's one very important thing, because a product roadmap is basically a tool to communicate your strategy for the next months. So mm-hmm. so one thing, one very important thing is to have just one product roadmap at a time. So you should have one product roadmap that everyone can assess, that everyone saw and everyone understood. So that's very important. So if you make any change, that's okay. You can change it anytime. But it's not just changing a spreadsheet or changing a diagram somewhere. It's also changing that and then do all the communication work, like telling everyone about the change and make sure that everyone really understands it and they know our goals. Because if they don't know our goals, then they cannot help us to achieve it. So how often? I think if you need a rule of thumbs, then you should revise it in every 2 months, at least to have some small discussion about it. It doesn't mean that you have to change it, but you have to think about it after 2 months. And whenever you feel that that your current roadmap is not functioning anymore, then you should change it, because if there is a big difference in what in the plan and what we do, then people will not really trust that plan anymore. So if you feel that okay, things have changed, just go and change the roadmap too.
Mm-hmm. Is there any software that you particularly like for product management? Well, probably road mapping being just part of it, but also keeping track of feature requests, etc., etc. What's your best tool of choice?
So we are designers, and usually we use the tools that our clients use. So some of our clients are using Trello. It's a very simple tool. Some other clients use other Atlassian softwares. There are also some tools that are for product management, but I think those are the most common things we use. Yeah, Jira, Confluence, mm-hmm. those are the Atlassian tools, and I think we don't really use anything special, and yeah, I know that people really love tools. they always ask about tools, like, okay, you are a UX designer, what prototyping tools do you use? And I just say, it doesn't really matter. I mean, of course, some tools are better and you should use those, but it is really just a tool. So you shouldn't expect too much from a tool, and you shouldn't rely just on a tool. So there is this other product management tool called AHA. It's a good one. There is this ProtPad. The other thing, I've seen people using Asana for product management. Of course, Basecamp, and but those are really just project management tools we use for product management. So I think if you want to use a tool, the first thing you should discuss with your team is what do you want to use it for. So imagine a tool first, and then search for a tool that can meet those criteria, and not the other way around. So you should define your own methods you use, and then search for a tool that can help you to use those methods. And if your tool tries to teach you how to work, that's bad. That's not good.
Mm-hmm. I'm always, you know, on the lookout for new fancy pieces of software, but for my own product, I just go with a simple text document and bullet points.
Yeah, that's I mean, you shouldn't be embarrassed about it. It's if you build a simple product with a team of few people, you don't need anything more. You just need that one spreadsheet or one document that you can share, and that's it. And it's perfect. After a while, if you will have a bigger team or your product will get more complex, you will start to feel some pains, and then you will look for more advanced tools to solve those pains. But I think if you don't feel those pains, then you just shouldn't spend time with other tools.
That's a great piece of advice indeed. For people who have not, you know, have not practiced road mapping in their client service, I'm addressing the audience of consultants and freelancers who are listening to us, people who do client work. If they want to get started, what would be your, you know, couple tips for them on introducing roadmaps into their client work?
So I think it's pretty easy. First, just have a road mapping workshop with your clients together. So it's very important to, when you do road mapping, you should involve business leaders and high level business leaders. So if on the client side, there's a project manager working with you directly, but there are some other guys above that project manager, like a head of product or a CEO or someone else, then invite those guys also to your workshop. And this workshop can be very easy. Just sit together or have a conference call and try to define your roadmap for the next few months. If you want to do something more special, you can have a product strategy workshop when you review all your metrics and all the pain points discovered from user research and all the results of the competitor analysis, and put everything together and come up with a strategy. So that this strategy workshop can be a good tool also. But if you don't want to do it, you can just do the road mapping part and put together some plans. First, you have to define your themes, so your big goals you want to achieve. So on a workshop, you can collect it together. And then you have to prioritize them. So you have to think about your resources and make some reasonable decisions about, okay, how many things can we do simultaneously? We have many product teams working, then we can maybe have two or three different themes simultaneously. We have, if you have just one product team, then you have to work on one single thing at a time, and prioritize the themes and decide what is the most important thing and start working on that, and that's it. You have your product roadmap ready.
Sounds wonderful. So I imagine as a product or UX specialist, when I'm getting ready for such workshop, I can kind of draft up those potentially viable themes, and then we can discuss them, maybe add something new, and then prioritize them together.
Yeah, that's a good approach. But also, I would suggest to not so let others have their own ideas and really involve them. So maybe when you talk with your client or a business leader on your client's side, you will find out that they have a very different understanding of those themes, of the big goals, because they have a different viewpoint. So I think the best way to do it is to let them define their own, and then compare what you got and agree on something. So a workshop is always about to make sure you involve other people and you make decisions together. So a workshop is not about having a plan and then just convincing everyone else to follow your plan. A workshop is about coming up with a plan together. So that's very important. And if you come up with a plan together, then everyone will feel that it's their own plan and they will be very excited about it.
Yeah, that's rule number one. That's great advice. So you come prepared, but you still start with a blank sheet of paper
and
try to pull other ideas. That's great.
And that's very, because if you come prepared during the workshop, there certainly will be a situation when you have to give up your own ideas. And that's very difficult. So you have to stay open and you have to remind yourself that, okay, those are just my ideas. There will be other participants. And maybe they will have different ideas. No, I'm sure they will have different ideas. And, you know, you will have to come to a conclusion together. So that's, so be ready to give up your own plan.
Great. Is there any special reading you can recommend on, you know, road mapping or product design in general?
Yeah, so there are many good product managers who publish things about road mapping. There are two blogs I would recommend. First, mm-hmm. there is the Mind the Product blog. Mind the Product is a conference and a meetup series and an online community about product management, and they have wonderful resources. They also have a newsletter, so if you sign up to that newsletter, you will get about 5 articles about product management every single week, and those are really great articles. So I follow it myself, so I would recommend Mind the Product. There is also the Silicon Valley Product Group, which is also a very good website and blog, and I read that also, so I got a lot of inspiration from that site. It's run by a guy called Marty Kagan, and he's a very seasoned, very experienced product manager in the Valley, so I follow him.
Wonderful. Thank you. I will include the links in the show notes for sure.
Yeah.
Where can people find your work online?
So if you go to uxstudioteam.com, you can find our work, you can find our blog, and we write regularly about these topics. So I'm sure that you can read some good tips and tricks on our blog too.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This advice is totally precious. And it's also highly practical. I'm glad.
Okay.
I hope you have a great day.
Okay. Have a great day too. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by FreshBooks Cloud Accounting Software. They're offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to our listeners. Just go to freshbooks.com/UIbreakfast and enter UI Breakfast in the How Did You Hear About Us section. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, please leave a review on iTunes. It will help other people discover this podcast.